Well, we're going to spend some time in God's Word. We're going to roll through a lot of scriptures. And we're going to start in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter 24. And I wanted to share on the subject of doing God's Word, choosing actually to do God's Word, or choosing to walk for God. Group does this Sunday, the fellowship things recording, so I'm giving them lots of options. Choosing to walk for God. So in Joshua, this is the end of Joshua's life, and great things were wrought with Joshua and the believers, but that God was able to work for those believers because they made choices to stand for God and to walk for God, to believe God. And there's an exhortation at the end of his time with the children of Israel to continue doing that and to do it. Verse 14 says...
Wait, I missed the chapter, please.
24. Oh, sorry, chapter 24. And in verse 14, it says, "Now therefore, fear, or have a respect or an awe or a love, the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." This is years after they had come into the promised land. So there still were believers that had other gods dwelling in their thinking and their practices. And verse 15, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And even though they had been walking with God for a long time, they still had to keep choosing if they were going to serve the one true God or going to start serving other gods or continue serving other gods. Joshua and his household had made up their minds. And so what I'd like to do is we're just going to read some things from 2 Chronicles. And we're going to start in chapter 26 and look at the different kings of Judah. At this point, the children of Israel had split into two kingdoms, the children of Israel and the children and Judah, or Israel and Judah. And for a long time, the Judeans continued walking with God. But both nations had kings that were up and down and in and out and over and every which way. Some were very strong in the Lord, some were didn't like the Lord, some were in the middle. So, and just as we go through this, I photocopied it and I highlighted the scriptures I wanted to do, so I wasn't going through the whole thing. But just look at the results, the choices that the king or the people of Judah made, and then what happened because of those choices. And it becomes very apparent when we walk with God, God blesses our lives. He has mercy on our lives in many, many ways and still blesses us. And when we choose not to walk with him, it's not that he doesn't want to bless us, but he only blesses truth. He doesn't bless evil that's in our life. He blesses that which is according to his word, and he can bless that. The other stuff, he just lets go. And what happens, happens, I guess. But in chapter 26, 2 Chronicles, we're going to pick it up with the first king that we're going to look at is Uzziah. And in verse 3 of chapter 26, it says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And 2 years in, reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God. It was a purposeful decision. He sought God. in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So he sought God, and how he sought him was in the understanding of the visions of Zechariah, which was the word of God at that time that was being proclaimed in other scriptures. And so he read God's word, believed it, and sought God. As long as he sought God, things went well for him. Verse 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehulams. Verse 16. But when he, and he did some, shows different great things that he did. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. He got egotistical about what he had done. But maybe the fame and the glory got onto him, and the spotlight was changed from God and his word to what he was doing. And that happens, you know. People lose sight of who they are, and they start looking like, feeling they're the big great one. And so that's what happened to Uzziah. His heart was lifted up to destruction for, reason being, he transgressed against the Lord his God. And it's going to give an example of what he did. And went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. So yeah, 81 people, 81 priests coming in after him. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. So what he was doing was contrary to the written law, and they recognized it and right away went in to stop it and to say, hey, you don't belong in here. Then Uzziah got mournful and said, I forgot about that. So thankful that you let me know this. Nope. Uzziah was wroth. He got pissed off and had a censer in the hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah, the king, who remember was a wonderful believer, was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So he did wonderful things when he walked with God, and a bunch of crappy things happened as he started to move off of God's word. Chapter 27, Jotham was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusalem, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, and this is a big word, howbeit. It's like, but. He entered not into the temple of the Lord. And God had the temple built because he said, this is where I am going to meet my people. And that's where the point of contact was for Israel to God. It was in the temple. And he's choosing not to go into the temple. So yes, he was a believer and he was wanting to walk, but he wasn't wanting to walk that much. It was like, I still like to lie, or I still like to cheat, or I still like to do this on the side. I kind of like that part, but I don't like this part. And he's making his choices, but they're not all godly. Yet, look, God blessed him and worked with him where he was. But he had some shortcomings. And the people, of Judah, did corruptly. Another translation was stayed in their corrupt ways. So his walk had an effect on those believers as well. They didn't clean up their act that needed it. Verse 3, he built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. So he did a lot of great things. Verse 6, so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. So he continued to grow. Doesn't say whether he ever went in the temple or not, at least in this scripture, maybe in one of the other ones in the Old Testament. Verse 9, and Joseph slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. And Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Israel, the reason why they split is they went after, it was Jeroboam, and they went after other gods, and they set up all kinds of places to worship other gods. And it says, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, which were the ways of idolatry, and made also molten images for Balaam, which was one of those gods. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord has cast out before the children of Israel. One of the gods that the heathen worshipped, part of their worship service was to sacrifice your own infant children. Which, you know, it's just almost out of our thinking that you would do that, but he was doing it. You know, you think, how does a guy get like that? Especially after having heard so much of God's word. But so, verse 4, he sacrificed also and burned incense in the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they were the unbelievers, and they smote him, and carried away a great multitude of them captives, and brought them to Damascus. And he was delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Do you think it would make the news in this day and time if 120,000 people were killed in some battle in one day? I mean, it's just amazing. But that was part of the result of this man's refusal to worship the one true God. Verse 7, and Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Mesullah, the king's son, and Azarikam, the governor of the house, and Elkanah, that was next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. So what's happening is the Israelites are fighting the Judeans, their brothers, so to speak. They're supposedly worshiping the same God, but they were at odds with one another. They killed 120,000 of the valiant men, and now they're taking 200,000 captive. But a prophet of the Lord, verse 9, was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out before the host that came to Samaria and said unto them, behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he had delivered them into your hand, and you have slain them in a rage that reaches up into heaven. And now you purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not with you, even you, with you, sins against the Lord your God? And now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again, which you have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Then certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim Azariah and these guys, they stood up against them that came from the war and said unto them, you shall not bring in the captives hither, for whereas we have offended against the Lord already, you intend to add more to our sins to our transgress. For our transgress is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. So a prophet stood up, spoke what God wanted to these people, and fortunately they responded in a godly way and said, okay, we're not going to keep them. Here, you deal with them. But they became free again. But had that prophet stood up, who knows what would have happened. But that man took a stand for God on that particular issue, and it helped. He couldn't get rid of the 120,000, couldn't get them back alive, but those 200,000 that were now captive still could be worked with, and he helped with that. Verse 16. At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him. Kings of Assyria were not godly people. They were unbelievers. They were considered the heathen. They didn't worship the one true God. They didn't have a love for the one true God. And he's sending for them to help him. It's like going to an ungodly, having a need that you have in your life and go for an ungodly solution. I got a cut on my arm, and I'm going to put rat poison on it. It's just stupid, going for, you have a need and you go to the wrong source for deliverance. For again, verse 17, the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country and of the south of Judah and had taken Bethshemesh and Ajalon and Gederoth and Soko with the villages thereof, and Timnah with the villages thereof, Gimzo also in the villages thereof, and they dwelt. They're losing all their land. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. His lack of walking with God had an impact and influence on the other believers there. And whoever that is, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away the portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria. But it didn't help him. And in the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that king Ahaz. I mean, his decisions were not good decisions. He kept choosing the wrong things to do. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him, and said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the houses of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Now the rest of the acts and of all his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of Jerusalem. But they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. So he just kept rejecting the word of God and went down in a bad way. Now we get a good spot. Chapter 29. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He was a prophet. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, so he's right away, he opens the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Isn't that wonderful? Here's a man who said, you know, the temple is right here in our city, and we have ruined it. And we're gonna open her up. He's changing direction. And he brought in the priests of the Levites and gathered them together unto the east street, and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, which means to set apart or cleanse, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of, in the eyes of the Lord our God, and hath forsaken him, and hath turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. It's just wild. You know, it's when the prophet of the Lord spoke for the Lord, it's God Almighty speaking to you. So if you're speaking, you know, if God's speaking to you and you turn your back to that, it's not a good position to be in or choosing. They turned their backs. Also, verse 7. They have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in this in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, and ye see with your eyes. It's not that God brought it upon them. His hands were tied when, because they walked away, and unto their own destruction. And there is a devil, as we know. So the devil steps in and says, hey, dude, I can beat these guys up and nobody's going to kick me out. So just how it went. Verse 9, for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this, which was the ones that were in Assyria. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose. These guys got up. They started doing, verse 15, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner parts of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all of the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad to the brook Kidron. That's like the city dump. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the porch of the Lord, and they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went to Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord, and the altar of the burnt offering, and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table, and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are all before the altar of the Lord. Well, how about that? And then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city, and went up into the house of the Lord. Verse 23, and they brought forth the he-goats. They did all kinds of animal sacrifices, etc. They brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. Remember that stuff we learned a couple years ago about the sin offerings in the Old Testament? The priest would put his hands on the goat, and it was for the righteousness of the people, the sin offering, and the sin of man went on to the animal, and the innocency of the animal went on to the priest, and then the priest blessed the people, and that's how it was a transfer of sin. And then later, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, and the sin of mankind was put on him, dumped on him. His innocency and righteousness was put on us. But so look, what they're doing is they're using the temple for what it was supposed to be used for, a meeting point to God Almighty. They're doing all these sacrifices, and they're getting their lives really just blessed and cleaned on the inside, and just things are changing. Verse 24, and the priest killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And then Hezekiah instructed them to do these instruments of music and the different things that were in the law that were done earlier. In verse 30, it says, moreover, Hezekiah, the king, and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. What a difference between that and Ahaz. Ahaz, they lost 120,000 men in one day, valiant men. They got 200,000 people captive. They lost their cities. It's like a super contrast. Verse 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, now you have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation walked away, turned their backs. Nope. Brought in sacrifices and thank offerings. And as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. Verse 36. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people for the thing was done suddenly. Just great things. Chapter 30. And Hezekiah sent to all the children of all Israel and Judah and wrote letters unto Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel with it and his princes and all the congregation of Jerusalem to keep the Passover the second month, which hadn't been done in a long time. So, verse 5, so they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such a sort as it was written. So the post went out with the letters to the king and the princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Syria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. And if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Now here's this man trying to get the word alive again in that country, and some people are responding with great believing and thankfulness and getting healed, and other people are saying, that's a bunch of garbage. They laughed in the scorn. Verse 11, nevertheless, many of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars and were in Jerusalem. And all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron, into that big dump. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And many of these people were not sanctified according to the law. In verse 18 it says, and for a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. Verse 22, and Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord, and they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. He said, this is so much fun, we're doing it again. Let's stay another week. But look at the great mercy on God and the great joy and gladness in the hearts of those people. The word was alive and living in their hearts again. Just incredible. Verse 25, and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and Levites and of the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Egypt or land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced, so that there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place unto heaven. Just wild. Really great stuff. So, they're challenged. In chapter 32, we're just going to look at that for a minute. It's just another great great thing. After these things, the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. You know, they did it before when Ahaz was king. They came in and just swept out everything. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he ends up fortifying things. Verse 6, and he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, be, and this is what he told those believers in that city and throughout the country. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, that there be, because or for there be more with us than with him. You know, we got more on our side than they got on their side. And here's why. For with him is an arm of the flesh. You know, with the king of Assyria, he's just got army guys. That's all he's got, horses, and stabbing items, and bullets, and whatever. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They didn't turn their back on him and say, that stuff is ridiculous. There's no way we're going to get out of this from this guy. He's killed everybody. Anybody he went up against, he's won. Sennacherib comes and he's challenging them. In verse 11, it says, doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? So this is very big stuff. As you, I'm sure, are aware, in that day and time when they wanted to take over a city, a fortified city, they'd just get a big enough army, they can surround the whole city, and they just sit there and wait. And they wait for the city to run out of water, to run out of food, and they starve them out. And they, you know, this is just one of the ways they did it. And so, if you're on the inside of the city and you hear Hezekiah said, hey, you know, God's going to protect us. And all the junk that Sennacherib told the believers, you know, there's no way he's going to, you know, and he goes through all these gods. He goes, how about all these gods? And how about all these nations? We took them all. What's your God different than all these other ones? And they rested on those words that Hezekiah said. So they know, and they were familiar with people starving to death. I've never seen anybody starve to death. I don't know if anybody here has seen somebody starve to death, but it's a slow procedure. You know, you don't eat for a day, and then you don't eat for 2 days, and you don't eat for 3 days, and you're getting a little hungry, and you're getting a little hungrier, and your body's starting to lose its strength, and it's losing its strength, and losing its strength. And then one day you just can't breathe anymore. It's a horrific death. So when a whole city is in the whole same spot, everybody's hungry. Remember, there's one record where two women decided to eat their kids. They boiled them up and said, who eats their kids? So the word of God must have been so big in those people's minds that they said, no, we're not going to starve to death. We're not going to die of thirst. This guy is wrong. We've got the Lord God on our side. They rested in those words. They didn't turn their back and scorn and say, that Hezekiah, yeah, he's a nice guy, but I'm not risking my life on what he's saying. I think I'm going to sneak out and put my hands up. They didn't. Just amazing. So what happened was God sent an angel. I'm trying to find the verse.
21.
Verse 21, and the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels, his own children, slew him there with the sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Syria, and from the hand of all other. And he guided them on every side. Those believers rested in the truth of God's word that Hezekiah had taught and showed from the scriptures, and they just stood. And one more, won't take long. This one to me is just incredible. It's chapter 33. It's Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, verse 1, was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he built again the high places, which Hezekiah's father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Baalim, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall be my name forever. And he built altars for all the house, host of heaven, in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So it'd be like putting devil worship stuff, altars right in the temple. Get the Holy of Holies and put some devilish thing in there, and that's what we're going to worship. And just desecrated the temple. Verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. That's the ones where they would sacrifice their own infants. And he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image of the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon, his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them according to the whole law and the statutes of the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Syria, which took the Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. How about that? And humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He came to a spot in his life. He said, what the hell have I done? And he humbled himself before God. And look at the mercy of God Almighty. This is just hard to fathom that a human could do this, but God did it. In verse 13, he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the amount of the house, in the mount of the house of the Lord, and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed their own peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. You know, they still use some of the same stuff, but at least they're worshiping God. But look at that Manasseh. The thing, I mean, what a turnaround from his dad, and then something clicked in his heart. Now, who knows? There may have been believers praying for that man to finally wake up. We don't know. But he changed his thinking and asked God for forgiveness. God took him back, reset him up as king, and look at the great things he did. But just the differences in choices. You know, when Joshua said to the children of Israel, you choose this day who you're going to serve. You're going to serve the gods from before the flood, or the gods of the Amorites that we, the land we just took, or are you going to choose to serve the one true God? And it's just, we have that choice every day. Thankfully, we have somewhat of an understanding of God's word, enough to be able to walk with God and to choose that every day, and not to be persuaded by the ways of the world. So, great stuff. It is a roller coaster ride through the Old Testament, up and down and in and out and over and around. So I'm thankful that we have one another, that we really do help keep one another happy, blessed, you know, on track. And it's great, you know, the household to be able to stand, and like those priests, those 81 priests that went up to Uzziah. Uzziah was wrong, and they didn't say, well, he's the king, we better not say anything. They said, you are definitely wrong, get out of what you're doing right here. And they took a stand, and you know, Uzziah could have said, you're right, I don't know what got into me here, but I'm getting out. But he didn't. So it's nice to have the body of Christ, the family, the household of God, in this area and other areas to walk with and to help us to stand together and strong for God and his word. So, great stuff, great learning.